The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So today I want to give you, we're not going to be talking about prophecy today. We're not going to be talking about news. We're going to take a break from that today. And today I just want to bless you and encourage you today in the topic of building your anti-venom from the serpent's bite. Again, building your anti-venom from the serpent's bite. If you're watching the visual of this, you'll see on your screen, you see a sheep here and you see a venomous serpent or a snake. There's a reason why these are depicted today. So let's get after this thing and talk about this. Let's talk about the bite of the serpent. A rattlesnake, we're just going to use a rattlesnake today. We could use many venomous snakes, but let's just use a rattlesnake. A rattlesnake's bite is one of the deadliest bites that injects venom into its prey. Somebody wrote, and I would give credit to this, but I have no idea, and I tried to research this and could not find it, because everybody knows how social media is. People share things, and you never know unless it's specified, and even then it's skeptical on who the author of the original quote is or the story or whatever. So if you're watching this or you're listening to this and this is your story, we give you credit to that, even though we don't know your name. But I want to read this quote. A rattlesnake recently bit one of my sheep in the face about a week ago. They are considered to be the deadliest snakes around here. My sheep's face swelled up and hurt, and her face was hurt terribly. Quote, but the old rattlesnake did not know the kind of blood that flowed through the sheep. I'm going to say that again. The rattlesnake did not know what kind of blood was flowing through the sheep. See, here's what many of you may not know. Anti-venom is most often made from the blood of sheep. I want to say that again because this is profound if you've never heard this. A lot of anti-venom is actually derived from the blood of sheep. The sheep, this particular sheep that was bitten in the face that this individual shared the story about, the face of the sheep swelled for 2 days, but the blood of the lamb, the blood that was coursing through the veins of this lamb destroyed the venom of the serpent. Come on, some of y'all know where I'm going with this. She said, quote, I was so worried about the sheep because I was, that it was going to die, but the sheep continued as if nothing really happened. It kept on eating, it kept on drinking, it kept on climbing, and it kept on moving. Now, I want to talk about fire. We're going to go back to this in a minute, but we're going to build this in stages. Let's talk about fiery serpent. Let's talk about serpents. You know, serpents were mentioned in the Bible in Numbers chapter 21, verse 6. Numbers 21, verse 6, it says that the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people in Israel died. Now, who were these individuals? These were the individuals that complained, and they murmured, and they rebelled against the leadership of Moses in Israel, or when he was leading them out of captivity of Egypt into the promised land. They continued to murmur, they continued to complain, they continued to sow discord, and they continued to revolt against the leadership of Moses. And it opened the door for serpents to come in and bite them, and many of those perished. And it also mentions this in the New Testament as well. And I want to write down some notes that I took here that I want to share with you today on podcast. The serpent's bite, now I'm speaking in spiritual terms. We know that in the natural, a rattlesnake, a cottonmouth, a water moccasin, a cobra, we can name all these venomous snakes, but the venom is in their fangs and is released through the glands that come and courses through and is released through the vent of through the fangs when they are inserted into your bloodstream. So the venom goes through there and is inserted to your bloodstream. But listen to me, but in the spiritual, the serpent, now we all know the serpent, the snake represents Satan. All the way back in the beginning of time in the book of Genesis, when Satan appeared in the garden, he came speaking through a serpent. And thus, we have coined this imagery of the wise serpent. But then you get all the way, even in the book of Revelation, it talks about this dragon. But the word dragon there is in the Greek is actually drakon. It comes from drakon, and it actually means a fiery serpent, or it means a serpent in Greek. So we see him in the beginning and we see him in the end. In the book of Genesis, we see him in the book of Revelation. So again, who does the serpent represent? Satan. Thank you. The serpent's bite, listen to this, comes not by his fangs, but by his words. Satan injects his venom into you and I through words. Listen, I'm going to prove that to you when I get to the end of this message. Let me just read on. Our words have power of life and death. So Satan will come and he will, come on, the Bible calls him the father of lies. He will whisper lies into your ear. He will speak lies over you. He will say things to you that's contrary to the word of God. He will say things contrary to what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. He will speak words of death. He will speak words of negativity. He will speak words of doubt. He wants you to come into, come on somebody. He wants you to come into agreement with what's coming out of his mouth and not what's coming out of the mouth of the Lord. Someone dies of cancer in our family. He shows up while you're laying in bed, full of anxiety, full of worry, and full of fear. And he shows up at your bedside and he begins to whisper lies into your ears, saying that your mother died of this, your father died of this, your grandmother died of this, and you're going to perish from the same venom of the same disease. And you and I have a choice whether to accept and drink of the venom, which is to receive those words or reject it. And I'm going to show you how we reject it in just a minute. Satan, listen to this. Satan used in case you don't believe what I'm telling you, in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, Satan used a serpent and it entered its venom into humanity by opening the serpent's mouth and uttering words of deceit and deception, resulting in the birth of sin in the garden. Now, we know that sin originated in heaven, but it impacted humanity in the garden through a serpent who opened his mouth and spoke lies, deception, and deceit. And Eve, we could say she bit of the poison, but in some utterance, it wasn't even that sin, come on, the apple did not contain the venom. Come on. It was the lies of the enemy. Do you not know that when you eat of the apple, you shall be likened unto God, even though God said, do not partake of it. Don't eat it. Don't take of that fruit. You can eat of this and you can eat of that, but don't take of this fruit. So it was deception. It was lies. It was the words that came forth from the enemy in the garden. Listen to this. The serpent's mouth uttered words of deceit and deception, resulting in, watch this, the birth of sin coursing through Adam and Eve's veins that would ultimately be passed down from generation to generation. Let me give you scripture for this. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification and pardon of life. Now, then we go to the New Testament and we see, ironically, the word sheep is used all through the New Testament. We as believers are depicted as sheep. Jesus was depicted as the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Behold, he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And then we see in Matthew 10, 16, Jesus speaks to us and he says, behold, I send you out as what? Sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as, ironically, wise as serpents, but be harmless as doves. So we've discussed the bite of the serpent. What is the actual bite and venom of the serpent? I just showed you that in the natural, it's the fangs of the serpent, but in spiritual terms, the venom is in the words of Satan and the enemy. We talked about sheep. We talked about serpents and how they're used interchangeably in the Old and New Testaments. Now, let's go back to this anti-venom. The Lord revealed the source. Listen to this. The Lord revealed the source of the anti-venom to one generation under the law of Moses that was a foreshadow of what would ultimately come through Jesus Christ, who would be called the Lamb, oh, come on, that would carry the anti-venom in his veins that would have to be shed for all humanity. Here it is. Ready? Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. And then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, quote, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when they looked at the bronze serpent, they lived. Oh, come on. This bronze serpent is a prophetic look into the future representation of Jesus Christ on the cross, shedding his blood for anyone who would be a victim to the venom of sin that would ultimately come through the words of Satan, through the acts of Satan, through the lies, the deceit, the deception. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if you ever wanted to know why, of all the things that could be depicted to be put upon a pole that the people would be commanded to look at so that they may be healed, why in the world would it be a serpent? Because after all, I showed you through all through the Bible, the Old and New Testament, a serpent is a depiction of Satan, or we know as sin. So why wouldn't there be a lamb? Why wouldn't there be a lamb put on a bronze pole so that when we look to the lamb, that we'll be made whole? The question is, or the answer is, ready? He who knew no sin became sin. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's a picture that sin would be dealt with and it would be put upon a cross. There'd be, there wouldn't be a four-legged sheep that would carry, come on, this that would take the sin and be driven off a cliff. It would be, come on, a man named Jesus who would be the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, who would ultimately carry the blood of God himself coursing through his veins, which is the anti-venom. Oh, yeah. Now, listen, let me get on here. As the people looked on the bronze serpent and were healed, so today, we look at Jesus Christ upon the cross, and by faith in him and him alone, we have not only healing through the atonement of what he did when he shed his blood, but we have salvation. by putting our faith and trust in him. I'm going to read some more here that I wrote in notes. The serpent's bite has impacted humanity from the beginning of time and began. Listen, this is really powerful here. It began in a garden, but the anti-venom that would be produced also began in a garden. Let me say that again. The serpent's bite was initiated on humanity in a garden. But when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Bible says he was a stone's throw from his disciples, he began to pray. He began to intercede. He began to travail. The Bible says he began to take on the sins of the world. And this is why he was crying out to the Father. He says, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And the Bible says that he was praying and he was interceding. And it was so violently that he began to sweat great drops of blood. What in the world was going on in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was a stone's throw away from the disciples of Peter, James, and John? The answer is it was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was beginning to intercede for, come on, all of mankind. And the Bible says he, like you and I, was tempted in all points, but without sin. This is why, oh, come on. This is how you build up an anti-venom. See, the reason why the sheep are able to carry anti-venom in their bloodstream is because over so many times of being bitten and bitten and bitten by this serpent and bitten by another serpent and bitten by another serpent, that they begin to build an immunity. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody today, if you'll listen. They begin to build an immunity against the venom. Did you know that people even have this? There's some people out there that are handlers, or they're just, they're hunters, or whatever the case may be. They have been, it's been proven. You can find this. You can research it on the internet. They've been bitten by so many venomous snakes over so long that if a snake that would bite them that is venomous, that would normally take down someone like you and I, they can just shake it off and move on. Why? Because their blood has built up an immunity or an anti-venom against the venomous bite. So watch this. No wonder John said in the book of John, verse 121, behold, they're all baptized. John's out there baptizing the people. They're coming to him. He's baptizing him. And then he stops and says, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Somebody say, takes away. That's going to be important in a minute. Take away. He takes away your sins and the sins of the world. John 1:29. John the Baptist saw Jesus approaching him to be baptized and announced that he was indeed the Lamb of God, a pure and holy sacrifice to be given for the sins of all mankind. He was a lamb without blemish that was to be inspected by the high priest to ensure a perfect sacrifice before God, and there would be no defect found in him. And Jesus met the qualifications. And Jesus would offer himself for the sins of the world, making his blood an anti-venom for sin from that point on. Now listen to this. Let me talk about this venom for a minute. Why is this venom? Why do we need to talk about this? Listen, in the natural snake venom, when it's injected into the bloodstream, once it enters your bloodstream, it begins immediately to destroy tissue, nerves, and organs. And if it's not immediately dealt with and left unchecked, without anti-venom, it will produce either the worst case scenario is death, or you could even lose a limb because it literally dies, and people's had to have amputations. Whew. Now listen, this is what sin does. Sin is the venom that we're talking about today. It produces physical death. It produces spiritual death. And it carries through the bloodline. It doesn't just impact you. It doesn't just impact me. But it travels from generation to generation. And if left unchecked, it will continue its destructive path, eroding and wasting away the body, your family, your relatives, your mother, your father, your children, and so on and so forth. But I come with good news today. If you've not caught this yet, I want to tell you that there is life in the blood. Somebody say there's life in the blood. Listen to Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. Somebody say it's blood that makes atonement. I want to tell you this. This is why, listen, it was the blood of Jesus that was hidden from the foundation of the world. This is why the Bible says if the princes of this world had known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Listen, the final weapon of mass destruction that Jesus hid from Satan, all of his imps, and all of hell and mankind was his own blood. He would take the blood, his own blood, and would shed it and make atonement for all of mankind. In the Old Testament, a high priest would offer the sacrifice of blood of an unblemished lamb on the altar to make atonement for himself and for the sin of the people. And guys, I'm going to tell you, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, the Bible says before he first ascended, he first descended. And the Bible says he went into the lower parts of the earth and he preached to the spirits of the dead and led captivity captive. And before he came up and went into heaven, Mary saw him at the tomb. She didn't recognize him because she thought he was a gardener because he had on a priestly garment. Why did he have on a priestly garment? Because he was no longer a suffering servant, but he was raised from the dead, and now he became the high priest of the profession of our faith so that we can come boldly before the throne room of grace and obtain atonement in the time of need. So, but this is what he said. He said, touch me not yet, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, because he had a mission, and his mission was to take his own blood and go to the heavenly temple. And there were the furnitures. There was each one of the pieces of the furniture of the temple that Moses saw the replica of and replicated on earth. Jesus and he on earth there would be an earthly priest that would take a basin of blood of a lamb without blemish, and he would sprinkle seven times upon the furniture and make atonement because it was the Holy of Holies. And Jesus went into the heaven of heavens and he took his own blood, and this is why the Bible says in the book of John, behold, I prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you that where I am, there you may be also. Come on, rejoice. Rejoice. That's what he said. Rejoice. If you believe in God, believe also in me. I have prepared a place for you. Now, listen to this. I want to get down here. Now you say, well, this is great, Brother Ricky. This is powerful. This is awesome news. But how can we overcome the venom of Satan today? Let's finish this podcast with that answer. 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for by man came death. By man, Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. In other words, the first man, Adam, was bitten by the serpent, if you would, and the venom coursed through his veins, and it continues to course through our veins to this day, because the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When you were born, you have sin circulating and coursing through your veins. But watch this. But the second man, Adam, called Jesus was resurrected from the dead. For as in Adam all die, this is 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Come on, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, for the old has passed away and all things have become new. The book of Titus says that you have been regenerated. And it comes from the root word regened. Come on. So in other words, you no longer have Grandpa Adam's tainted, poisonous, venomous blood coursing through your veins, but now the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. And the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The hope of glory, Christ in you. Come on, somebody. I wish somebody would get happy with me today. Listen, Jesus understood how to overcome the enemy. I'm going to tell you something. Now Christ is risen from the dead. He has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep and has provided an example on how we are to walk in victory and has equipped us with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Let me show it to you. In John 14, 30, it says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and this was before the crucifixion. He says, I will no longer talk with you much from here forth. For the ruler of this world is coming, that's Satan. And he has nothing in me. I said, he has nothing in me. In other words, Jesus said, he's going to come, and he's going to try to put his fangs in me and insert his venom into my bloodstream like he did with Adam. But the difference is, come on, this is why Jesus was, he's the role model. He's the example. This is why Jesus would continually go off in private. He would go to a mountain by himself. He would get into a boat by himself. He would go into a high place by himself. He would wander off into places in the wilderness or in the place of solitude by himself. Why? Because he understood the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God of the pulling down the strongholds. So Jesus was interceding. He was praying. And he said, and this is why you think he told his disciples when they asked him, how should we pray? He said, one of the things he said to pray in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, he said, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why do you think Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. Put on the helmet. Put on the shield of faith. Put on the breastplate of armor. Put on gird your loins with the word of truth. Put on the boots are the shoes of the gospel of peace. Put on the sword of the spirit. Put on the armor of God. Why? Because it's through prayer. It's through intercession. It's through praise. It's through worship. It's through getting into his presence. It's through getting into devotion with him. It's, come on, being sold out to Christ that builds up your resistance. You want me to prove it to you? Listen, there's some of you, I got a preaching spirit coming on me right now. So I know that usually we talk and we have talking points on podcasts, but if you don't mind, I'd like to preach for about 30 to 60 seconds here. Listen, I'm going to prove to you that some of y'all don't even know what you've got coursing through your veins. You don't even know what's in your body, what's in your veins in the spiritual realm. Because let me prove it to you. Because there was a time 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when the enemy would come and he would open his mouth and inject his venom, and he was going to try to take you out financially. Come on. But you survived the attack and build up an immunity against it. He was going to take out your marriage, but you took the bite. Yeah, you swelled up a little bit. Yeah, it hurt for a little while. Yeah, you may even have some bruises. You may even have some scars from it, and you may have some bad bad memories about the bite that was so, come on, so venomous and the wound that it caused, but you're still standing. Oh, come on, somebody. You're still looking at your grandchildren and say, I know I went through hell and high water, and look at all these bite marks. Look at, you roll up your sleeve. This is when the enemy tried to take me out, but he couldn't take me out here. He tried to take out my marriage, but come on, but our marriage was built upon the rock and it withstood the venom of the enemy. And look at this scar over here. This was from a bite that I didn't even see coming. And he attacked me and my finances. We thought we were going to go under. We thought he was going to take us out. We didn't know where we was going to get our next meal from. We didn't know where we was going to get our groceries from. We didn't know how we was going to pay our bill. And when the enemy said we were done and we were finished and hit that venom was coursing through our bloodstream, God, come on, we remembered the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, and he stepped in and said, I've already paid the price. I've already, come on, provided you with the anti-venom. Just, Ray, come on, the battle is not yours, but it belongs unto the Lord. So you raise up and you begin, come on, I'm going to, listen. In case you can't figure it out, let me show you what Paul did. The Apostle Paul, see, Satan tried to take him out on a cruise. He tried to take him out on a boat. He tried to take him out on a ship. He tried to destroy Paul because Paul was raised up by God to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. So Paul took it upon himself to get upon a ship. There was warnings about getting on the ship. There was danger about getting on a ship. A rockledon was raising its head to get on this ship. So they got through the storm. The ship came in on broken pieces. They had to climb up out of a broken ship, bruised up, cut up, scraped up. Come on, got some bleeding going on. They've got all kinds of stuff going on. They were hungry because they had fasted all night. They get only to get up onto an island. Listen what it says in Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. It said, when they had escaped, come on, then they found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, the Bible says a viper, oh, come on, a venomous serpent came out because of the heat. Oh, I said because of the heat. And listen, don't think that when you turn up the heat of your prayer and you turn up the heat of your intercession and you turn up the dial on your Bible reading, you turn up the dial on your church attendance, you turn up the dial on your faithfulness, you turn up the dial on getting into worship and getting into praise and being committed to the Lord. Don't think for a moment that when you listen, here's the thing that I've learned about serving the Lord. Here's the thing. Paul went through hell, man. This guy was led out of a basket, or led down by a basket. He suffered perils of hunger, perils of famine, he was beaten with rods. He was left to be stoned to death in the city of Lystra. You would think this guy would get a break. If anybody should have a break, anybody should get a vacation, it's the Apostle Paul. But no, he gets on a ship and this thing comes in on broken pieces. And then he gets out and all of a sudden he's met with kindness. He's met with love. He's met with generosity. And I can just see it. Paul's like, oh, thank God. Finally, my break has come. But listen, Paul was turning up the dial. Paul said, I can't keep the gospel that has been hidden from the ages of past from, come on, this generation. So he was on a mandate. He was on a commission of the Lord to preach the gospel, come on, to the Gentiles. So what was he doing? He turned up the heat. He was praying even more. He was fasting anymore. He was interceding anymore. And he was witnessing and he was walking in what God ordained him to walk in. And when the heat was turned up, that's when the serpent manifested. And listen what it says. It fastened on his hand. It fastened to his hand. Some of y'all's got a serpent on your hand right now. Some of y'all's got a serpent on your hand. And listen, you want to worship God, but you got the heaviness of the venom hanging on your hand. Some of y'all want to come to church, But you've got that python spirit, python, a serpent that's strangling you, taking the life out of you, causing apathy and complacency. You don't have the umph anymore. Some of y'all want to tithe, but your hand's heavy because the enemy's opening his mouth and he's spewing his venom. You better not tithe. You better not give to the Lord. You ain't going to make it. You're not going to be able to pay your bills. You're not going to be able to keep afloat. You'll go under. But I'm going to tell you what he did. Paul said, listen to this. So the serpent fastened to his hand, and the Bible says that people saw it happen. Listen, I'm telling you, your fam, oh, come on, somebody, I feel it. I feel this thing. Listen, you may not get nothing out of this, but I'm going to preach myself happy today if it don't do nothing for you. But I'm going to tell you, people are watching. People watch our walk with God. They watch when the serpent's hanging off our hand. They see the troubles we're in. They are watching to see how we handle the situations that the enemy is bringing our way. They want to see how you pull through that economic issue. They want to see how you pull through that marital problem. They want to see how you pull through that prodigal son and that daughter that's gone AWOL and is rebelling against the Lord. They want to see how your boss fires you for no reason and leaves you out to dry. They want to see how you respond when the venom is trying to be spewed into your veins. So here, the serpent grabs a hold of Paul and is attached to his hand. And the Bible says the natives watched and they immediately made a judgment. Oh, yeah. See, I know how church folks are. They immediately made a judgment. And they said, no doubt this man is a murderer, even though he escaped the sea, because now a serpent's attached to him. Did you know for years and years and years, church folks used to say that if you are having trouble, if you are having trials, and if all hell's breaking loose, it's because you've got sin in your life. It's because you are rebelling against God. But I'm going to tell you something. That could be true in some incidences, but I have found out in my walk with God over 21 years that most of the time, that Satan rears his head to oppose me or come against me is not when I'm warming myself by the fire and not a threat to anybody, but it's when I step out and begin to walk in what God has commissioned me to do. That's when I become a threat to his kingdom. That's when I become a threat to hell. And that is when he sends out all of his imps, because you know the Bible says in Ephesians 6, there's principalities, powers, rulers, and dark. He sends out his adversaries. He sends out attacks. He sends out, delay. Why do you think the Apostle Paul, through the whole New Testament, you can read it in his writings. The Apostle Paul said, I often wanted to come to you, but was hindered. I had planned to come to you, but I was hindered. Over and over again, he said, I was hindered. Notice this, Satan couldn't stop him, but he could hinder him. See, the serpent bites. These bites of the enemy are not to destroy you because Satan, he doesn't have the capability to destroy you if you have the course of the blood of Jesus running through your veins. He only has permission from God to do anything in your life. Go read the book of Job, chapter 1. He had to ask permission before he could do anything with Job. Because you are a son and a daughter of God. So Satan can't stop you, but he can hinder you, delay you. He wants to listen. He couldn't keep the children of Israel. Most of them, they died by the fiery serpents. But watch this. He delayed them. What did it say? A few days' journey turned into 40 years. So he delayed them. So a whole generation never made it to the promised land when they should have made it into the promised land, but they were delayed. Watch this, because they opened the door through what? Discord, complaining, murmuring and rebelling against Moses. And because of this, they opened the door for serpents to bite them. This is, I'm telling you, this is ministering to somebody. But look what Paul did. In the presence, come on, of everybody, in the presence of his haters, in the presence of the naysayers, in the presence of the doubters, the skeptics, the agnostics, and the atheists, Paul, listen what it says in verse 5. He shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. And the Bible says in verse 6, however, they were expecting that he would swell up or fall dead. I'm telling you, some of y'all got some haters, and they are expecting you to fall. They're expecting you to drop. They're expecting you to go away. They're expecting you to disappear. They're expecting you to go under. And they don't even realize it, but they're partnering with Satan, because my Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. So if these people are going around accusing you, lying on you, sowing discord, sowing defamation, they are partnering with Satan. But you know what you need to do? I know it's hard. And I know some of y'all is going, the enemy's attacked you in your finances, attacked you in your marriage, attacked you in your health, attacking you verbally. You need to do what Paul did and just shake it off. Come on, somebody do that with me right now. Just start shaking it off. I shake off every attack. I shake off lies. I shake off deception. I shake off false doctrine. I shake off expectations of people. I shake off the lies of the enemy. I shake off that lie that I'm going to die and not live. I shake off that diagnosis of the doctor and declare that by his stripes I am healed. I shake off that lie of Satan that says I'm going to go under and not over. I shake off that lie that says I'm going to be the tail and not the head. I shake off that lie that says that my church is going to close its doors. My family's not going to come back to me. My husband is going to die and go to hell. I shake it off in Jesus' name. Come on, shake it off. But listen to this. It says, but after they had looked for a long time, just come on, you need to expect it. They're going to watch you for a long time. They want to see how you react. But watch, this is the awesome part. You ready? When they discovered that no harm came to Paul, they changed their minds. Come on, I'm telling you, no wonder Jesus said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Listen, I get it. I'm a father of two boys. One is 13 and one is 6. Do you know who they are looking? You know who they're looking to for Jesus to be demonstrated? They're looking at me. They're looking at their mother. They're looking at us. We have the mandate to train them up in the way in which they should go, that when they're older, they shall not depart. Listen, parents, that is not just reading scripture to them. That is not just shoving them into a Sunday school class or vacation Bible school or sending them off to youth camp. That's not what that, those things are good, and I'm not attacking those things, but I'm going to tell you where most of it comes through. It comes through how you handle the serpent's bites when they come against you. Because one day, oh man, I feel the Holy Ghost. One day they're going to sit around with their friends, and their friends, come on, especially when they go off to college, their friends who have been filled with so much ungodliness and deception and agnosticism and new age and humanism, they're going to sit around with those people and they're going to say, what is it about? Why do you serve God? You can't prove him. You can't feel him. You can't touch him. Why do you still serve this God whom you cannot see? And your children are going to say, I know you can't touch him. And you say you can't feel him. And you know, you say you can't see him. But let me tell you how I know there's a God. And they begin to tell testimonies. I saw my parents go through hell and high water. I saw them face impossible situations. I saw them fall on their knees, and I saw them begin to intercede and travail and begin to fast and begin to cry out to the Lord. And I saw God show up and do supernatural things that defy come on, the laws of reason. I saw angels appear. I saw supernatural things take place. I saw checks show up in the mail, and there was no reasons why they should have showed up. I saw cancer fall off of someone. I saw someone get out of a wheelchair. I saw blind eyes open, the lame talk, and the deaf hear again. Come on, that's what it's about. So you want to know? Listen, you want to know how you overcome the serpent's bite and how you get anti-venom built up? Come on, you get through one battle and you defeat that thing. And then you get through another battle and you defeat that thing. And then eventually when you get into this thing, after you've defeated that old serpent so many times, and listen, he's got the same old tricks. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those were the same three weapons that he used against Jesus when he was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You don't want to know why he's used those three weapons for thousands of years? Because they work and they're effective. But listen, when you get victory over these areas over and over and over again, you'll get to a point where you'll get a negative report. You'll get an unexpected bill. Somebody in your family will lose their mind and do something stupid. And in times past, come on, somebody, that would have worried you all night. You would have lost sleep. You wouldn't have eaten. You would have lost hope. But all of a sudden, you start seeing this happen again. You're like, oh, no, I don't think so, devil. Not this time. Because the same God that brought me through then, and he brought me through it again, and he brought me through it again, he's going to bring me through it this time. Because I have the blood of Jesus. Come on. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. He's given me authority and power. And somebody says, well, I don't know if I believe that, brother. Listen to this. Luke 10:19, and I'm going to close. Luke 10:19, Mark 16, and then we're done. Behold, Jesus is speaking to us. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all. Somebody say, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is Luke 10:19. Listen to this, Mark 16:17-18. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, and they will take up. Take up. Remember, I told you earlier, I said, remember the word take up. They will take up. The word take up means to take away or remove. It doesn't mean snake handling. That irritates the living daylights out of me when these people in the eastern parts of Kentucky and different places in the United States, they're snake handling churches. That's stupid. Stupid. That's not what that means. They will take away or remove serpents. Come on, he's given us the authority to trample, to take away or to remove, come on, the serpent, and all, not just the serpent, but all the powers of the enemy. You and I have the authority. Why do you think, listen, Jesus was teaching us this through the whole Gospels. They were on a boat. They were in a storm. They thought they were going to die. Jesus is asleep. They wake him up and they are panicking. They say, Lord, do you care if we perish? He gets up. He says, oh, you of little faith. And then rebukes the storm and goes back to sleep. Why did he rebuke them and say, oh, you of little faith? Because he was trying to tell them, you have the authority and the power. Come on. And let me close with this. The same way this Satan enters and injects his venom in our bloodstream through words, what do? We speak. When you pray, you speak. When you intercede, you open your mouth. You speak. When you decree, you speak. When you declare, you speak. The Bible says, speak unto this mountain, be thou removed. He said, whatsoever you pray, and whatsoever you ask. Come on, he says, pray, ask. It's all through the Bible. Open your mouth and declare and decree the word of God over your situation. That's, my friends, how you shake off the serpent into the fire. Something's coming against your health, take out all the scriptures on healing and shake off that serpent, come on, of infirmity in the fire. Something's going on in your finances, there's a serpent trying to attach to you to inject venom into your veins to try to get you to doubt that God is your provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. You begin to take all the scriptures on healing. That's your ammunition. Open your mouth and begin to declare the word of the Lord. Declare that, Lord, you said, give and it shall be given back unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You said in Matthew 6:33, give and it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me. And you should begin to declare and begin to decree the word of God. That builds up your anti-venom, and he's already provided it. But you and I have to do our part. We don't earn salvation, guys. We're just not talking about salvation. His blood spilt at Calvary opened the door and provided atonement. It was the propitiation for our sins. It provided atonement for us to enter in heaven. Remember, I go and prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you that where I am, there you may be also. He did it through his blood. That's through faith, grace through faith. But I'm talking about while we are still here on this side of heaven and not in heaven yet, we're going to have to endure some battles, and we've got some serpents to shake off. And I hope today we've helped you a little bit on how to do that. I want to give you some information, guys, on how you can keep up with our ministry. Again, endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. It's going to be right there on your screen. Don't forget to go and bookmark the site, subscribe to the site, and that's where you're going to find us. And as always, we're going to give you an opportunity to download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Get it into your hands. Get it through the app store of either one of those devices. Make sure you get that into your possession. You're going to get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You're going to find our podcast there, our videos there. You're going to find how to keep up with this right there. Make sure you hit yes to push notifications so you can be notified of all that as well. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity, if this ministry is a continual source of edification, blessing, information, revelation, and transformation. If it continually blesses you, we want to give you that opportunity to pray about becoming a monthly partner. I know there's many partners that are listening today, watching this today. From the bottom of our heart, I cannot express our level of gratitude because of you guys. You help us to continue do this year after year, and we don't sell products, we don't sell merchandise. The app's free, the subscription base is free, the ministries are the podcasts are free. Everything is free. Freely we've received, freely give. But even listen to me, but even Jesus had partners. I don't have time to preach it. One day I've preached it before, but we can get back on it. I can show you that many of the women who through Jesus delivered in his ministry became some of the largest supporters of his ministry. So Jesus did have a support system because it did cost money. It costs money to run a website and do all these things. So we want to give you that opportunity, and God will bless you for that, guys. It's the word of God. Give and it shall be given back unto you. I just quoted that. And with the same measure you give, it's going to get given back to you. But you can do that two ways: electronically through the app, through the main website, or you can give right there on your screen by check or money order. And you can make that out at Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And that's P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Let me read that one more time, so I got a little bit tongue-tied. Again, if you're listening by podcast, it's Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So again, thank you so much, guys, for coming on today for this. I hope this was a blessing, a word of encouragement to you. We'll be back on here either tomorrow or Friday. And I'm not sure what we're going to do yet. We may do a prophetic viewpoint. In other words, we'll take a headline that's come this week, and we may expound a little bit on it to inform you of the signs and times of which we're in. Or if the Holy Spirit puts on my heart to do another word like this of exhortation or encouragement or equipping, then we'll do that. We are Spirit-led here at End Time Headlines, and we want to obey the Spirit of the Lord. So again, thank you guys. We appreciate your support. We're going to lead this off through prayer. Father, I thank you for every individual today watching by YouTube or Facebook or listening by podcast. We bless them today. I pray the blessings of the Lord over them. I ask that you'd watch over them, keep them from harm, danger, any disabling accidents. Lord, I pray that this word today that was given today, that you put in my heart, I pray that it would not return void, but Lord, that they would run with this word. They would equip themselves with this word. They would put it into motion, put it into action, and that faith without works is dead. So, Lord, I thank you that as they walk in this and step into this, I thank you that they're shaking off venomous serpents today. They're shaking off strongholds today. They're shaking off assignments today. They're shaking off seasons of disappointment today. They're shaking off depression today. They're shaking off all these things today, infirmities, and they're walking in the fullness and the abundant life that Christ has paid for and what he paid in full for us to walk in today. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.